Hello, and welcome to Eyes on Success, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpey and Peter Torpey.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. On this week's show, we're going to be talking about Flying Blind.
Flying Blind is a company that Larry Lewis founded, which promotes new access technologies, distributes many useful products for people with vision loss, and trains educators in using them. In addition, they work with Dean Martineau to produce and distribute the weekly Top Tech Tidbits about what's new in access technology, and we will be speaking with Larry about each of those topics pretty much in order. But first, to our tip of the week. This week's tip is Larry Lewis making a really strong case for Braille literacy.
I am a very strong Braille advocate. I understand people have different scenarios in life where they lose vision at different times. But from my perspective, people who are congenitally blind or blind very early on, who have not had the ability to read, print, and so forth, need some sort of, as I call it, tactile pathway to literacy. And you can't get that from listening to something or telling an instructor, you know, sitting down with them and telling them what you've learned and so forth. You need that actual act of reading and writing. And there's actually been studies done out there where the tactile pathway to the brain, really, there's been parallels drawn between that and your visual pathways. So I really feel that in a situation where somebody has not ever read print before, they need to have some semblance of tactile literacy in their life just to get that subject, verb, object thing going in a sentence and so forth. And I can tell when I get emails from people who have been blind a long time, those who are literate and those who are not. And I'm not talking about, you know, buying an expensive Braille display. I'm talking about, you know, paper Braille. I'm talking about mechanical Braille. And, you know, much like people would with a pen and paper, I can tell those who are literate and those who are not, and typically those who are Braille readers. If you've read all your life and you're, you know, 25, 30 years old, you lose your vision, I'm not suggesting that you have to be fluent necessarily in Braille to succeed, because you have those literacy skills built for yourself visually.
So you said you could tell sometimes who was a Braille reader and not, just from reading maybe an email or some of their documents. What are some of the key signs you look for?
Basic literacy concepts like the words here and here, you know, I hear this or I'm going here, words being used incorrectly, misspellings, not always a giveaway, but there's more to being literate than just being able to win a spelling bee. You know, when you take a look at, again, we're talking about people who have been visually impaired or blind a long time, who are not print readers, you look at who's gainfully employed, and it's the people who are literate, just like in the sighted world. You know, you can't expect somebody who can't read and write to take on professional type tasks and jobs if they can see.
Well, I guess you're right. A lot of that detail and structural information just doesn't come across in audio, and so Braille is a good adjunct to that.
Now, you can make the jump if you, like I said, have learned how to read and write in the past, you know, and could see, and you're blinded later on in life. I understand that people just aren't going to use Braille the same way that I would, but I can tell, and I'm generally right. And again, I don't say that to make anybody in the audience feel bad or badly or anything like that, because it's not always the kid's fault that they don't get the services they need. Maybe they're just, it's where they're located. Maybe their parents weren't the best advocates for them. Maybe they've had some well-meaning but misdirected, you know, vision ed teacher who hasn't thought that it was important. So it could be a lot of things.
In addition to some of the reasons that Larry gave for Braille literacy, you know, I think it also gives you more options. And the more options you have for performing a task, the more chance of success you have. You know, Braille can also be useful for multitasking without disrupting other people. So you're not listening to audio at the time. You can just be doing Braille quietly while you're listening to a meeting and taking notes. So there are other reasons for learning Braille. I think Larry made some real good points there.
We've been listening to Larry for a couple of minutes now, but let's actually meet him. So we've had you on the show before, but can you reintroduce yourself, please?
My name is Larry Lewis, and I am the president and founder of a company, Flying Blind LLC. We're approaching our seventh year in business, which is amazing in and of itself. I had the bright idea to leave my job and start a business right before a recession. So we're very fortunate that we've had a lot of great customers and clients that have kept us rolling for almost 7 years now.
What did you do before Flying Blind?
I've been in the adaptive tech industry in some way, shape, or form for about 20 years now. I'm one of these guys. I have an extensive background in education. I have a master's in English, and I also have a master's of science in special education with the focus on working with people who are blind. And somehow I got roped into the whole technology thing. I've been using adaptive technology since, you know, the advent of the VersaBraille and a few products like that. But I never thought that I would be in, you know, a capacity where, you know, we are involved so much with different types of technology. So I began my career in more of a direct service provision role working with the Cleveland Sight Center. I live in Cleveland, Ohio, and I served in a few different capacities there, one of which was heading up a lot of their speech and braille evaluations and assessments and trainings and going to employers and making sure things worked and stuff like that in Northeast Ohio. And then in the late 90s, I actually made the switch from what I call not-for-profit to for-profit. And I worked for HumanWare for a number of years and helped with the initial Braille Note launch and worked in a few different capacities there, primarily product management, marketing, and also sales. And then from there, I switched gears and I left HumanWare and I joined Optilec, which is a Dutch-based manufacturer of CCTVs or video magnifiers, I guess you call them now. And they also make Braille displays. And they most recently, probably about 7 or 8 years ago, actually bought the assets of Alva. So I worked for Optilec for a few years, kind of got tired of doing the one company corporate thing and just felt like it was time for a change. I've made a lot of great connections over the years and so forth. And so I found it Flying Blind.
And you're blind yourself, right?
Yeah, I'm totally blind.
And what's the cause of that?
Congenital cataracts, which developed into a juvenile form of glaucoma. The ironic thing is my problems today could probably be treatable, but back in the late 60s, early 70s and so forth, medicine and advancements were not really what they are today. So I had a little bit of vision when I was younger, a little bit of travel vision, could never really read print effectively, but could see colors and hand movement at about a foot and a half and could, you know, see like the green grass against a white sidewalk and so forth. But I'm totally blind now. The glaucoma pretty much took all that out. So I'm totally blind.
And, you know, we've heard from an awful lot of people on this show a very similar comment to what Larry just said. Gee, if I had had this same problem that I was born with now, the doctors could have fixed it. But back when I was born, they didn't know how to do it. And you just have to be really grateful for all the medical advances that have been made and, you know, be grateful if there's any that any of us can take advantage of. And if we were too early, well, we were too early.
And certainly, as you have often pointed out to me, these days the technology has improved a whole lot. So even if you do have a disability such as blindness, your access to information and things you can do is a lot more improved. There are a lot more options these days than there used to be.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
This week's focus topic is Larry's company, Flying Blind. So you mentioned that you started Flying Blind about 8 years ago. Can you talk a little bit about what Flying Blind does?
Flying Blind is involved in really three different types of business that make up its core business. The first thing that we're always interested in is working with companies that are developing emerging types of technology. What I mean by that is companies that might be a little bit smaller. They're not necessarily the bigger companies like the HumanWares or the Freedom Scientifics or GW Micros to some degree or whatever. We're talking about companies that have technologies out there, but they really lack direction on how to get their products positioned in the United States. I really love to promote things. And so if there's technology out there that I think is usable and I think is something that's really important, and I find a company that maybe can't afford the six-figure salaries of a vice president full-time or somebody like that to help them with vice president of sales or marketing, or if there's a project to manage or whatever, I'll offer them the ability to outsource that service.
What are some examples of companies you've worked with like that?
Code Factory is an example. I also work with a company still based in Poland, and they make a very small, inexpensive Braille display called the Braille Pen 12, and they're a company called Harpo. Not to be confused with Oprah's company, but but they're another example of a company who I work with them and their U.S. Distributor, who's actually based in Canada, and provide them a lot of direction and a lot of help that it might not be affordable for them to have because they have a lower cost product and, you know, they're importing it into the U.S. and so forth.
What else does Flying Blind do?
The second thing that we do is we do a lot of professional development type work. And probably over the last couple of years, we do a lot of work with educators because it's so such a need out there with the whole Apple iOS stuff. That's one example of the type of professional development type educating we do. We like to educate groups of people as to how to effectively utilize technology. And the iOS stuff has been pretty hot within school districts, especially because you have a lot of teachers who are having iPads and iDevices thrust upon them to use with their blind students who are used to traditional note takers. And it is a very different scene using a touchscreen versus a proprietary type note taker device.
So you're basically training the teachers of students with visual impairments?
Yeah, we do some end user training too, but I feel I can be more effective training 10 or 20 educators at one time than I can one student. It's very different training a teacher than it is training a student. A student or even an adult who's using technology, and I say this very respectfully, they pick up stuff a little quicker than the service provider, especially the sighted service provider. And again, I say that very respectfully, but it's a different type of training experience when you're trying to work with a sighted vision ed teacher who's got, you know, 50, 60 kids on her caseload, and they all have different needs. And so I enjoy the challenges of maybe affecting a little bit more change with working with the professional.
Well, as a sighted person, Pete's blind and I'm sighted, and we've both got iPhones, and he, of course, uses his with VoiceOver. And because I can use it visually, I find it really hard to force myself to use the VoiceOver alternative methods. And more often than not, if Pete asks me to do something on his phone, I just turn VoiceOver off. But of course, it's not my job to teach blind kids. But I can really see why it would be harder for a sighted person to learn to use these touch screens without looking.
And think in terms of not just learning how to use them, but then incorporating them into the child's curriculum. How are they going to do an assignment on their iPad? How are they going to share that assignment through Dropbox or iCloud or something like that? And so it's more than just using it. It's then the practical application. How are they going to find a book? How are they going to download that book? How are they going to read it and write a report on what they've read?
So you said that there were three thrusts for Flying Blind. What is the third one?
I've been a sales guy ever since I was little, okay? When I was in college, before I even got into this industry, I was selling soda out of my dorm room and undercutting the vending machines.
Good for you. I wish I'd had someone down the hall from me doing that.
Shoot, I thought they were all selling drugs in college. You were one of the good guys.
One of the good guys, at least for a while. But but anyway, I've always enjoyed that process, this the thrill of being able to sell something to somebody and them to be happy with it and me to get paid for it. The whole process I enjoy. So we resell new and used equipment. We also have gotten into, in the last couple of months, putting in some low-tech items into our product store because I came to the realization that, you know, I buy folding canes, I buy talking clocks, I buy things like that, and I can be as high-tech as anybody. Everybody high-tech needs low-tech. I mean, I've got friends of mine who have been so grateful that they can go to my store and get things like oven mitts, tactile timers, those types of things like that. So I've integrated a lot of low-tech into my online store, but we also help resellers of adaptive technology, and I'm very selective about who I work with as an end user, but we'll help end users find homes for their used equipment. And it works out well because the person who sells and the person who buys typically don't want to deal with each other, but they'll deal with me and both trust me. The buyer trusts me that I'm going to get them a product that works. The seller trusts me that I'm going to pay them when the buyer gets their product and stuff like that. And in this economy, we have a whole group of people out there who don't want to pay expensive prices for products they can get for half or a third the price that are in really good shape. So I also help resellers of the big companies move out their demo equipment so they can get new equipment. And so we do a lot of used product sales too, as well as, you know, sell some new things and so forth. And it's very Braille centric. We do some OCR stuff with IBC and with Optilac and so forth. But we do a lot for Humanware and the company I was telling you about, Harpo. Don't really get involved in the note taker game as much, but we do a lot with new and used Braille displays and those types of products, a little bit of low vision and so forth, both new and used.
So being blind and being head of this company, you listed a number of activities that you need to do. And it sounds like there must be a lot of travel involved, interacting with people in other countries. Can you talk about how you negotiate some of that, how that works out?
Well, Flying Blind is really founded on the principle of outsourcing. I make a living out of convincing people why they don't need to hire people full time and why they need to use me and people who I subcontract with, because I do have people who work as subcontractors with me. I don't have any employees. And companies a lot of times want projects done and they're willing to pay somebody to do it and not pay benefits and stuff like that. So I think the reason why we've done okay during a pretty rough time is we really ran hard with the whole benefit of outsourcing projects instead of hiring somebody to do it. So, you know, a lot of it's just, I'm very organized. I try to be very goal-oriented. And what I mean by that is I try to have mapped out every day what I want to accomplish that day. And then I also am very much in tune with the fact that I can't do everything myself. So I do work with people, especially as it relates to my website and some other different types of things like that. But in regard to areas where I need help with some of the nuts and bolts, you know, I have a accountant who helps me. I have a tech guy who helps me do things that aren't really my expertise. And, you know, there are times when you need to rely upon the guidance of a lawyer even.
Well, you know, there's a great guidelines even for people who are sighted and may not face the same challenges you face. We can't all do everything ourselves, and knowing when to reach out for support or help from other people or some expertise that you don't have, I think is very important.
Yeah, I mean, a great example of that is I am terrible about invoicing and getting paid, so I let that go and basically have an accounting system in place where I don't even send out invoices anymore. And when people are running late, they're reminded, and they're also reminded that there is an option for us to charge a finance charge if they're late. And it's made my whole, that part of my business run a lot smoother because I've let it go and turned it over to a system that's better suited for me to do the types of things that I'm better at doing.
Well, and the other issue is just plain how many hours there are in a day.
Right, right.
You know, you need to be honest with yourself about, look, there's so many hours in the day and I'm going to spend them doing things where I can make a value add.
And it's a tough lesson for somebody like me to learn because I am very hands-on and I want to control everything. And, you know, it's a tough lesson to learn for sure.
But it is important.
Right, right.
Can you give the URL for Flying Blind in case somebody wants to check out your online store or any of your other services?
Yep. You can go to www.flying, F as in Frank, L as in Larry, Y as in Yankee, I as in India, N as in Nancy, G as in Golf, -blind, B as in boy, L as in Larry, I as in India, N as in Nancy, D as in Delta.com. So that's flying-blind. So -blind.com.
That's great. Do you have a phone number people can call?
Yes, that's +1 for people outside of the U.S., 216-381-8107. And I'm in and out of my office a lot, but I try to get back to people no matter where I'm at within 24 hours.
What's your email address?
Email, we have several of them, but I'll just give you my personal one, larry.lewis, L-A-R-R-Y, .lewis, L-E-W-I-S, @flying, F-L-Y-I-N-G, blind.com.
Okay, so now I'm going to ask a question you're probably not expecting, but you said you're big on marketing, and I have admired your logo for a long time. It's clean, it's attractive, it's easy to remember, it's related to your company name. Can you describe it a little bit?
Yeah, I went through several rounds of growing pains with my logo. The first logo, most people would have hated. We wanted to think in terms of things that were important to Flying Blind. The first and foremost is Braille, and the second would be, you know, the name Flying Blind. So really what the logo is it's like a Braille cell with a wing coming off of it. And it's very abstract. I'm glad that you like it. We wanted something that would really grab the eye of the sighted decision maker, the sighted purchasing agent, that would just stick with them as something that would be worth noting. Besides the name itself, Flying Blinds, we wanted to have a logo that's sort of synonymous with the name. And I went through a few rounds of refining. I wanted Braille in there, and I wanted something that looked pretty clever. And I involved a few sighted people who I trusted, you know, that come from a corporate background to help me out with that.
And that turned out to be very successful. If you have any sighted friends, or even if you have partial vision, you should check out his logo. It's really nice. Now for this week's high-tech segment, Top Tech Tidbits, which is a newsletter that Larry, in conjunction with Dean Martineau, send out weekly. It's a great resource for anybody with vision loss or for anybody else who's interested in access technology. Okay, so now, what is the relationship between Flying Blind and Top Tech Tidbits?
It started about, I guess it was 4, maybe 5 years ago now. I'd followed Dean for a while, just with the whole Top 10 Tech Tidbits. And Dean really didn't have any systems in place to distribute tidbits outside of just emailing anybody who signed up. And I think he had maybe about 1,000 or 1,200 people that even do that. And it was just sending out email blast after email blast. One of the things, and this comes from my background, that I did immediately with Flying Blind was set up a customer database. So I already had that in place and had several thousand contacts that I'd already put in there and so forth. And so I said, where we could really help you out is we could serve as the distribution point for tidbits, get it out to more people. All you have to do is worry about the tidbits. We'll worry about the mechanics. We'll worry about managing the database. We're able to set it up so people can subscribe, unsubscribe, leave when they want, come back when they want, get text-based email or HTML email, depending on their preference. At Flying Blind, we're really into the sighted experience, but also the blind accessible experience. We want to try to serve both markets. And I feel, and I think Dean would agree, that we provided a way for Dean to, again, do what he likes to do. And he's very good at the tidbit side of it, finding what's relevant, helping put it together, sends it to me. We check things over, package it, blast it out every Thursday morning, like clockwork.
We get Top Tech Tidbits every week, and of course we look at it. But if any of our listeners isn't familiar with the content, can you just kind of give a quick overview of what kinds of things you put in there every week?
Well, Dean takes the lead on what goes in, but the newsletter consists of product releases, any new news that has come out as far as podcasts that are available, instructional type of material. Occasionally, we'll put announcements out there. If there's a technology-based job opening somewhere, we'll do that for one of our companies or one of our friends that we like to work with or whatever. So it's typically going to be product releases, product updates. If there's any news in the industry where maybe there's been a blog post about a product that hasn't lived up to the hype, we'll promote positive news and not so positive news and try to keep it as objective as we can.
We appreciate him posting our Eyes on Success upcoming podcast in there. And also, just to let you know, we often get show ideas from some of the things he posts there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he does a fantastic job of coming up with a lot of this stuff. And the thing I'll say about Dean is he's really very objective. If people get him information, he's good at sifting through the hype and, you know, is this something that's relevant for tidbits? And he's really good at it.
And another great thing about the Top Tech Tidbits is that it's very succinct. There's typically like a one-sentence description of something new, along with a link to some more information about it. So you can skim through it very quickly. It just comes to your email box and it's done. So he comes up with a very interesting assortment of items every week. And I'm just impressed with the number and quality of the items. Where does he pull this information from in general?
He has his sources. I send him things. Most of the time he's already seen it. He's tied it very much with the podcast community, and he does a lot on Twitter. You know, he's just really good at it.
He's good with the social media, I guess.
Yeah, and I think we're good at packaging, and we have a lot of sighted people and blind people too, but I've gotten so many compliments from sighted people like, wow, this is something that we like. Every Thursday, we can go to one place and get everything we need. We don't have to do anything anymore. And it's a real service. Yeah. So we're able to do what we do best. And I think put out a product. I mean, I think I came to the table with 3,500, 3,000 contacts. Dean had about 1,500. Since then, you know, we have about 6,100 people who get that every week.
How would people get on the mailing list of Top Tech Tidbits if they wanted to?
You can email us, but the best way is just to go to flying-flying.com. And first and foremost, there is a sign up for our news list. And you put your email address in, click submit, or press enter on submit, depending on your screen reader. And then once you do that, you're taken to another window where you can put your name and other details in and ask if you want to get it as an HTML or text. And you're also given our privacy policy, safe subscriber policy. And also, not encouraged, but just told if you ever want to leave and come back, you know, by law, we have to do that.
So don't be afraid to sign up. And you also archive all the previous tidbits, is that correct?
We archive things by year. So you can go back to 2008, I believe. We've got everything archived and look for things.
And I'm sure not everybody caught that contact information and links that we've been giving during the show. Where can they find that information?
They can find that information on our website at www.eyesonsuccess.net.
In the show notes associated with this and all the other shows.
That's it for show number 1320. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about becoming and practicing as a blind attorney. We'll speak with John McCann, who is an attorney with the United States Social Security Administration, about how he managed his education and how he is able to do his job. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net or call us at 585-258-0333, and we'll try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpey and Peter Torpey and distributed by WXXI Reach Out Radio. For detailed information or a full archive of programs, visit www.eyesonsuccess.net. You can also follow us on Facebook at Eyes on Success and on Twitter at _EyesOnSuccess. We hope you will join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Eyes on Success, and have a nice day.